The wilderness is a recurring theme throughout ancient and modern scriptures. Scriptures for you use being anything written that's meaningful to us, really. If we're familiar with the Hebrew and Christian scriptures, we may remember around the wilderness with Abraham and Sarah, or Esau, Jacob, Isaac. We may remember Pilgrim's Progress. And Jesus spent some time in the wilderness, 40 days and 40 nights, right? The Israelites are probably the most well known for being in the wilderness for 40 years. When I asked the Google, there were 109 fiction books that are fairly contemporary where people get lost to find themselves again. Sometimes this is referred to as a hero's journey, and sometimes it's not a hero's journey at all, or at least it doesn't feel like it. There's a wilderness that's a wild place where people go to renew and hike. But a spiritual wilderness is often described as a place of stagnation, arid and dry, no water, where nothing can grow. Like the desert, you know, beige. And often there's a willingness to get lost, to be lost, to move into the unknown, sometimes willingly, and sometimes because we're cast out of a place, cast out of a job, cast out of a relationship, either by our or someone else's choice or through death, cast out of a place or a position that we hold dear. There was a semester for me in seminary, my second winter in Chicago, when I came back to my home in San Diego, realizing that the only visual that I had when I thought about my life, my inner life, my future life, was a landscape that was unclear, out of focus. There was a faint hint of shapes and uneven terrain, but mostly it was dark. And if it wasn't dark, it was beige. And honey, beige has never been my color. I was lost and empty, facing truths about myself and not knowing really how to find my way through it. It was my therapist who named it for me. "You're in the wilderness," she said. The wilderness, and all the while, I'm still grieving my parents' death and the death of my best friend, the loss of other relationships, my own aging, while working full-time at one job and part-time at my practice and going to seminary. It felt that way, seminary on top of that. I wonder how and when you may have experienced something like that. The feeling of being lost and also have stuff just piling on. And I wonder how many of us may be experiencing something like that these days. We've each had our own personal trials and then had to endure on it, along with all those things, the 2016 election and the aftermath of that. And here comes COVID after that, and then an insurrection and a war and then another war. Reverend Jackie Lewis from Middle Church in New York City put it into words for me. She said, "I'm pissed off at the state of the world. We have lost our minds. Incivility, lying, cheating, and stealing masquerading as governing. Mother Earth is just furious. It's so hard being human on this planet." And then she asked, "Am I the only one that feels that way?" And she invites them into an exercise, which I'm doing with us today. So raise your finger if you feel some kind of stress. Raise your hand if your body is carrying some trauma that you don't quite know what to do with. Raise your fist if you're thirsting for justice. And raise both your fist if you know that we're in a calamitous time that we might not survive. So she says, "That's why I'm feeling a little bit like the people of Israel. in bondage, in slavery, captured by Egypt, tormented, tortured, tested, making bricks without straw, economically deprived, no support systems. Finally, then, God liberates the Israelites. And then what happens? They languish in the wilderness for 40 years. God, they cried, why did you liberate us just to take us to the next hard place over such a long period of time? There are days I think to myself, this is just a little bit much. I'm languishing in the wilderness, and I wonder what's next. And then she writes, I think I need to up my faith game. We need to up our faith game. And I think we need to have a wilderness kind of faith. Jackie Lewis. A wilderness kind of faith is kind of where we are right now. At the end of my therapy session, where she named what I was experiencing, the wilderness, she gave me a hug and said, we'll get through it. It was very reassuring. And she recommended an article from a psychology journal, which I purchased for $40, so you don't have to. The article by M. Esther Harding states that wilderness is perhaps the most apt symbol of depression. Feeling like you're in a desert place or a wilderness, a feeling of being lost in an inhospitable region, so lost that we're in a state of despair. There's no water. Life is precarious. Human life is almost impossible. You get the picture. I was all those things. I suppose I was all those things, but I wasn't feeling particularly depressed, just lost, moving through the unknown. But Harding goes on to write that wilderness may occur due to those life circumstances that we talked about earlier, but this type of depression may be what is called creative depression. Something is wanting to come through from the unconscious mind to the conscious mind. The inner unconscious is demanding conscious attention. This kind of creative depression is pushing its way up and out and through and wanting to be birthed from this place into a creative act. Valerie Carr describes it as not the darkness of the tomb, but the darkness of the womb. Something is waiting to be birthed. We're all in a season of waiting. This goes beyond any kind of artistic endeavor or product, but it's about an element that's ready to be recognized as a valid part of the total individual. The creative act that comes is often preceded by creative depression. That kind of empty dryness of a spiritual life turns out to be quite universal and is most often a quest for spiritual maturity. It seems almost inevitable that as we mature spiritually, there come times, plural, more than once maybe, in my experience, I'm just saying, that we feel disconnected and separated from the source of life, from the source of our own life energy, chi, it might be called, the flow, those inward springs that give us juice and passion and, yes, pleasure. Something bigger, there is something that is bigger than us, that is within us and between us and among us. There's a life-giving source that we get cut off from. That's what we mean when we talk about this right now. Take a moment to be in touch with whatever that is for you, whatever you might call it. And if you can't be in touch with it, remember when you were in touch with it. Be in touch with the vastness of this universe, how big it is, and understand how small we are. What is it to be in relationship with both the largeness and the littleness of our lives? A wilderness faith reminds us that we are strong and resourceful, even as we are perishable. Something happens to us in this wilderness that will not happen to us when we're safe at home. We face the truth of what it is to be human, to know that these bodies will not last, and to still choose to keep going, to squeeze out that marrow of life. There's an emergency disaster response team that gets called out when someone is lost or has fallen. And one of the rescuers says that disasters like this often happen in places that are extremely beautiful. So before he lowers himself into a cavern or crevice or enters a place to rescue someone, he stops for a moment and looks around. He centers himself by taking in the beauty, breathing in the beauty of that place. And it makes the task at hand more manageable for him. If the wilderness is a place where we are lost, a place where we are cut off from ourselves, it is also a place where we can find beauty and find ourselves again and be found. A poem, Lost, by David Wagoner. Stand still. The trees ahead and bushes beside you are not lost. Wherever you are is called here, and you must treat it as a powerful stranger. Must ask permission to know it and be known. The forest breathes. Listen. It answers, I have made this place around you. If you leave it, you may come back again saying, here. No two trees are the same to raven. No two branches are the same to wren. If what a tree or a bush does is lost on you, you are surely lost. Stand still. The forest knows where you are. The forest knows where you are. You must let it find you. How then do we hold a wilderness faith? How do we live this wilderness faith? And Reverend Jackie says there are four requirements. They all begin with C. She's made them all begin with C, so they're easy to remember. The first is candor. We must tell ourselves the truth and tell each other the truth about our feelings, about what's going on in our lives, about church, about the world. Candor. And the second is conflict. Yes, conflict. I'm not talking about the kind that destroys relationships or the church community. I'm talking about the kind that comes from candor, that comes from truth telling. It's going to happen. In the wilderness, we have to embrace the conflict, because the conflict can be constructive and creative. Lewis says, if we don't take conflict to the streets, we don't get racial justice. And if we don't take conflict to the polls, we don't get to vote for the person who most represents our point of view and our values. The Israelites took conflict to Moses, and Moses took the conflict to God. And if they had not, they wouldn't have received the food and water they needed in the desert. Conflict makes change happen. And the third is community. We know this. I'm moved every Sunday by sitting here with all of you. We know that we're inextricably connected to each other. We know that we're all a part of what we call, what Unitarian Universalists call, the interdependent web of existence. There's a temptation to think that we do this alone. And I suppose a case can be made for that. In some ways, no one can walk our spiritual path but us as individuals. We heal by being willing to get lost, to move through this wilderness. But I think we don't have to do it alone, and we don't do it alone. Bell Hooks writes, I am often struck by the dangerous narcissism fostered by spiritual rhetoric that pays so much attention to individual self-improvement and so little to the practice of love in the context of community. After my therapist named for me that this was the wilderness and that we'd get through it, the very next session, the very next week, once again, as I was going out the door, what she dropped was, "Well, you may never be through it." Exactly. Exactly. I was like, "Oh, well, I'll save it for later." Recent studies show that humans are more lonely than we have ever been in modern society. We've connected on social media, but lost much of the in-person contact that enriches our lives and helps us know how to be human with each other and how to respect the humanity of others. There's a social psychologist or sociologist who says that she thinks that we may be changing as a species because of this. But I do not believe that the wilderness journey is merely an individual journey, that we need to do it alone. I believe that we have the earth, nature, trees, therapists, spiritual directors, art, story, music to help us. And I believe that we have each other. We need each other. And the fourth requirement for a wilderness faith is care, that we care for each other and we care for the world. We do. I see it in you. I hope you see how I care for you. And we must also then care for ourselves, which frankly, most of us are not all that great at. We have to take the time though to stand still and let the forest answer us, to surround ourselves as much as possible with beauty and colors, and to take that in and to remember that it's there for us and to know that we are worthy of love. We are worthy of love. All of us, all in this world, are worthy of love. Barbara Brown Taylor writes that there are as many angels in the wilderness as there are wild beasts, and plenty of other lost people too. All it takes is one of them to find you. All it takes is for you to find one of them. We whistle in the dark so that others know where we are. Let that wilderness find you. Let that wilderness find its way out of you. That wild land, the untamed, uncultivated place of truth and authenticity. Enter those wild, untamed, lonely, and beautiful places to face the truth of you, to face the truth of life, to be filled by love, tilted toward love, and then commit again to love, and to making our lives a creative act. You are not alone in this. We are not alone.